Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 751. This is your host, Danny, and we're live at South Beach at the legendary Fillmore, right next to the Miami Beach Convention Center. So, and also joining me, co-host of the show, we got Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
What's up here at South Beach? It's crazy, man. It's been so long since we've been out here. We've got history out here on the beach.
Yes.
But I'm excited because esports has come to South Florida. They took their talents.
Yes,
to South Beach.
To South Beach, yep, exactly.
And we have a special guest coming back 2 weeks in a row now. Welcome back.
I'm definitely becoming a consistent. So it's Dimitri Toledo. Yep.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of positive feedback from the first episode you guys released about League of Legends. Your reaction, man, reading the reviews, and probably people have been saying that they like the coverage because there's a lot of listeners of ours that love League of Legends. They really don't talk much about it at first on our Discord because they notice that we don't really talk about it. But now that we're going to start covering the esports and everything, how do you feel about that, man?
Like, I'm actually really excited. This is something that's been kind of like in my head.
Yeah.
You guys, I guess, so just a lot of like coverage from behind the scenes of like big industry and just like the traditional style of games where it's like, it's a multiplayer game, but there's no focus on like esports. And I'm really hoping that in the future, there can be bigger coverage in here and give you guys bigger exposure and a lot more reach across in the gaming reach in the gaming community, because esports is definitely growing, especially with franchisement in a lot of leagues. So I'm really excited to do this and want to see more.
Yeah, like I know we've done Call of Duty War League. We're talking to Take Two Interactive and 2K Games, because I want us also to cover NBA 2K League. I think this is going to be a very interesting season. We'll see. Hopefully it works. It works out for everybody, man. Pete, your thoughts overall, man, because it's like this is not your first time attending League of Legends, esports event, but as a media person, this is your first one. Your thoughts overall, man, and especially here at the random Fillmore City, Miami Beach, right?
Like, well, it's the randomness, seeing the spectacle that is League of Legends. Like Dimitri said earlier, having seen it in Tallahassee, seeing 17,000 people packing the arena, but seeing the difference in energy, right? You have Tallahassee, it's a college town. It's big for FSU, but for other general type activities, you don't see a lot of hype or a lot of excitement and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this is Miami. This is the city that never sleeps, right? Yep. This is the Magic City. So when you couple a high energy stakes game like League of Legends with the fans and the excitement that they bring for the Riot, for Riot Games in general, and seeing all of that culminate here on South Beach. I mean, you've got people that have been partying overnight, sleeping for an hour, and then hitting the Fillmore in anticipation of today's finals. You know, it's super exciting. I mean, I've been on the periphery of League of Legends. I know I played it for, I think a month or two a couple of years ago, and it just never stuck. But it's something that my son has always been on top of, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see, his energy and him putting the effort towards trying to do something with esports. Mm-hmm. Obviously, him doing some work with us makes my heart a flutter because, I see my son doing big things now. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I mean, hell, I now know all five major players and the coach for 100 Thieves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it'll be exciting to see what the teams do today. I know last week we saw the semifinals, which pretty much put Team Liquid and 100 Thieves into the finals for today's match. Mm-hmm. I want to get some predictions, from Dimitri. I know we talked about this last week, but, there's some tragedy occurred after the semifinals last week. Shout out to Double Lift. I don't know if for people that aren't aware, shortly after the match ended last week, he took series MVP. you know, he put the team on his shoulders and basically brought him to the finals. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you know, he gets home, or he finds out, you know, through Twitter and through the phone that his brother killed his mother.
Wow. That's sad.
Critically injured his father. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have someone going on that emotional roller coaster of going from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, him rushing back home. Mm-hmm. Now he's, you know, and then he took a couple of days and he decided he was going to come back and help take his team to the finals. I know last week, Dimitri, you said you wanted to see 100 Thieves in your heart win it, but you thought the Team Liquid, just because of their experience and everything, was going to win it. Has your opinion changed now as a result?
Well, shortly, no. I don't think that's going to change, especially I had doubts if Doublelift was going to play. If Doublelift wasn't going to play, maybe there was a little bit of doubt in me that thought, no, maybe not. I think maybe the Academy player that they did bring in for a sub wasn't going to be able to match the fortitude of 100 Thieves. But now that we know that Doublelift is playing, I'm definitely more confident to say that Team Liquid is going to win, hopefully in a 3-2, though.
No, well, I have a question for Dimitri, man. As a person that is a fan of the game, fan of esports, once Riot announced that they were going to have it here in Miami Beach, like, how was your reaction? Because usually they go to, like, other cities, especially in the West Coast and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Big arenas and all that stuff. Fillmore, South Beach, your reaction when you first heard about that?
Well, I was excited because I was a little bit skeptical if they were going to do another East Coast event, because they did just do Madison Square Garden last year, mm-hmm. for the world. So I was really, really skeptical if they were going to come back east, because typically they do these stuff in the west. So I was really excited, but I was also really afraid that the tickets were going to sell out really quickly, because one, it's the Fillmore. It's a big place, but it's not that big, and it's not as big as something like MSG or different events in China and Europe. So I was really, really worried that there was going to be no tickets. But I'm really glad that we had this opportunity from Riot to come out and do coverage for it.
Now, do you think that was smart of them to have it at a venue like this, for the event like this?
I think for the iconic factor, yes, it's definitely something that's important for the company and for the esports to grow, because it's something new and it's something that gives them, like, oh, we've played at Madison Square Garden, we've played at the Staples Center, we've played at the Fillmore. But I think for the growth of esports, especially for this year, where we see like franchisement, where we see big teams coming in and wanting to invest, I think it's maybe not the best idea. You want to be able to show that these teams, yes, we can pull iconic places, but we can also pack huge arenas. We can pack something like the American Airlines Arena here in Miami. So I'm excited just for the iconic factor of the Fillmore. I want to see them do maybe less low-scale events where it's a smaller venue and more larger, bigger areas.
So I know there's other venues here, like the FIU Arena. There's U of M Convention Center, or the Convocation Center, I think is what it's called at UM. Would you like to see them at maybe some mid-tier events in those type of locations, or do you think they can jump successfully from the Fillmore to like an American Airlines Arena?
Well, I think definitely with the growing stage of esports, I think they definitely could just go straight into like doing something like the American Airlines. But I do actually, I would like to see maybe something with like a more collegiate focus, because they do have an academy team. Every team has an academy team, but they have an academy scene, and there's somewhat of a collegiate scene. There's like it's mostly like third party run, right? Doesn't really associate it with too much. Especially after last year, they kind of cut it and they were like, guys, we're not going to give too many rewards for it. So I do want to see maybe a little bit more focus on the collegiate scene, especially maybe do an arena, something like that. Maybe like an FIU or UM. That'd be really good.
I know if you can hear the crowd, because this mic is pretty good. So, but the crowd is really excited right now. So this is the finals. This is it. Day two. So we're going to be right back. But first, once we come back, we're going to play a couple of interviews, short interviews. You could tell the listeners what is it they recorded or during. We were at the red carpet, right?
Yeah. So we did some quick audio with some of the players, Poe Belter, Someday, and Meteos. I actually said his name right. Thank you.
You want to mention the name of the teams too?
So obviously it's the final. So we got to meet 100 Thieves and Team Liquid coming through. I know Dimitri, you're still going Team Liquid, Danny, I know you have no idea what about to experience here with guess? League of Legends. So
you
let's pick one.
I trust Dimitri, so I'm going to go with them too.
All right, I'm going to stand out because obviously I'm outside the norm, so I'm not going to go with the normal call. Yeah. I'm going 100 Thieves.
Oh, well, why are you going just because you want to be opposite of us or you're confident?
That, seeing how they played last week, they played with such confidence. Mm-hmm. Having watched some more gameplay mm-hmm. over the past week, hell, we even got to see Nate shot this morning when we got here to the Fillmore.
Yeah.
So that
interesting behind the scenes conversation.
There. Absolutely, 100%, 100%, 100%. But yeah, I just want to stand. I want to step away from what everybody's going. Everybody thinks that Liquid's got it. Not to say that they don't have it. Would be great to see Double If take his team mm-hmm. and take that next step to win that he lost last year in World Finals, if I'm not mistaken. Group stages. So I'd like, from a story perspective, I think it'd be fantastic for Double If to finally to win the title, mm-hmm. get some kind of vindication, especially with the tragedy that happened last week. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see the underdog, the new kids on the block win it. So yep. I'm going 100 Thieves.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to play the interviews right now. And also, once we come back, we're going to have a recap of the match.
That's correct.
And also, hopefully, some Q&A press conference, right? You guys going to be there too. So live, South Beach, partying out over here, man. Drinks. Ooh. It's freaking hot outside and everything too. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
They're going to do a quick question.
Quick question. What are you looking forward most to in today's finals?
I'm looking for the nice match against Liquid. So just enjoy.
All right. Yeah. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Here with Medios. First of all, welcome to Miami. How are you liking it so far?
It's fun. It's really hot, though.
Very hot. Very hot. What are you looking forward to most, aside from a win?
Well, playing on stage is always fun. Mm-hmm. So... probably just playing and hopefully winning.
Obviously. So are you going to hold Nate shot to his promise of getting you guys Teslas if you guys win?
We're still waiting on the Yeezys, so my fingers aren't crossed.
All right, man. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Interrupt.
Yep.
I got it.
Hey, Poe Belter. How you doing? Welcome to Miami, first and foremost. What's it like coming back to the finals?
Feels really good. We made it to the finals again last split, but we weren't able to win this time. Hopefully this time is going to be different.
Good. Are you feeling any synergy with some of your teammates here, considering you played with them last year?
Yeah, honestly, I feel really confident coming into the match. It feels like we're just going to win.
Good. Any map predictions that you think you're looking for?
Any what predictions?
Maps.
Maps? No.
All right. Aside from a win, what's the thing you've been looking forward to most here at the finals?
Yeah, I mean, the win is all there is to look forward to, you know? That's why we came
Miami.
Out here.
You're also
yeah.
in Miami, so.
Yeah, well, we did go out to the beach for like a tiny bit, like probably 15 or 30 minutes the other day, so that was really nice.
Awesome. Best of luck.
Thank you.
What's up? Peter here with Gamertag Radio. It's the end of Spring Finals 2018. I'm back with Dimitri, and we're going to do a quick wrap-up of this weekend's action. So first and foremost, Dimitri, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. So I'm ready.
Cool. All right. So finals happened today. Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves. Not the ending I was expecting, but as we discussed last week during the semifinal coverage, Team Liquid took it home. They broke the curse. Kind of. And they won in convincing fashion. Talk to me.
Yes. So every game was basically sub 30 minutes, basically around the 29 minute marks, which is really, really fast. Typically, these games go like 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes even an hour. So it was very quick. It was basically just everyone go home. It was very, very fast. That was super unexpected. And Team Liquid just 3-0'd 100 Thieves, and they were just able to take away the trophy for the spring split.
So, obviously, we were there. We saw the action unfold on stage. What, in your opinion, was the cause for the quick exit of 100 Thieves? Was it poor strategy? Was it poor champion selection? Combination of both? Passive play? Because it just looked from the jump that Liquid came out confident and established dominance early. So what, in your opinion, did you see that, you know, that just spelled the doom for 100 Thieves?
Well, I talked about this with you earlier, but I think it was a lot of 100 Thieves relying on Cody Sun to basically do everything around the team, not necessarily doing shot calling or leadership. That's usually left up to Afremu, but Cody Sun was basically the one that had to put the entire team on his back and carry most of the game, while Team Liquid, they were able to keep ahead, and even though they lost some advantages early and some in most of the top lane, they were able to keep like a duo carry with Poe Belter in the mid lane and with Double Lift still doing very well in the bot lane. So I think that was very much a weakness and a strength for Team Liquid, where they could capitalize on Cody Sun being the only one to do something or be the reason why 100 Thieves would win a game.
Right, and that's one thing I wanted to talk about. Cody Sun coming into this weekend was purely dominant, especially after what we saw them do to Echo Fox, against Clutch Gaming, and seeing him go against Double Lift was a stark contrast to what we saw last week. We saw why Double Lift has won 3 titles, you know, over the last 4 years. We see why he is the top AD carry in the league and possibly top player, depending on who you ask. Anything else that you saw that that 100 Thieves did wrong or could have improved on this past weekend?
I think unlocking someday their top laner and putting him on something instead of a tank, where all he would be able to do is just soak up some damage and just provide peel for Cody Sun. I think we saw him in one of the games, I forgot, I think it's the first place tiebreaker match, where we saw him play Darius, and he was able to just pop off and get a lot of kills and basically just rampage through the entire enemy team. And that was underutilized. And I think if they would have unlocked on someday and let him play something like a carry, something like Darius or Camille, it would have been really, really good. And we would have been able to see maybe a duo carry, kind of like they do have in Team Liquid, but from the top lane and from the bot lane with Cody Sun and Someday on 100 Thieves.
One thing you mentioned was Someday could have done better had he been opened up in this last series against Team Liquid. Do you think that they've tried to play too passive or too soft, I guess is maybe the right word to say? Do you think that maybe Team Liquid just brought the heat too quickly, too early, and that 100 Thieves was playing from behind almost from the get?
Yes, I definitely think that 100 Thieves were, even in games where they had somewhat of an advantage from the early game, they were just basically playing as if they were already losing, which is a terrible mindset to have, especially like even if you are losing, it's good to like think, all right, we're ahead basically, and we want to play like we're ahead. We want to press advantages where we do have them. And unlocking maybe another carry allows Cody Sun to take off some of the pressure from having to perform so much. And at least on Team Liquid, it seemed like they definitely brought a lot of the heat early, which might have caught 100 Thieves off, because they have much more of a scaling comp. Since they're putting a lot of pressure on Cody Sun, they need to wait until Cody Sun gets his items, until he gets his levels, so that he can properly carry the game through itemization and through correct play around objectives. So by shutting down Cody Sun early and shutting down the rest of the map, it prevents Cody Sun from being able to reach the pinnacle of where he's able to reach item power spikes and reach proper spikes where he can take care of the game and where he can control the game with the rest of his team around him.
One thing I noticed as well, and actually it wasn't the only, I wasn't the only one that noticed it. Everybody made a big mention of this. Not a single Drake taken by 100 Thieves. If I'm not mistaken, same with Barons. Do you think that was a significant blow to any success 100 Thieves might have had this past weekend?
Well, I think the jungle control from Xsmithie on Team Liquid was definitely on point. I think in the first game, they were really close. 100 Thieves actually were somewhat back into the game, and they were able to kind of take control of vision around Baron. And it really, I think, after the Baron steal from McSmithy, it kind of just went downhill from there from the first game, and that's kind of a really bad way to start a series. When he stole that Baron, it basically just it shut down any way that 100 Thieves was going to get past and trying. When if they had gotten that Baron, they would have been able to stabilize whatever losses they had received in the beginning. And they would have been able to stabilize and start taking turrets and start pushing towards Team Liquid's base. But because Xmithy was somehow able to get past their entire team, basically, and get the smite steal, with Team Liquid's superior macro and their ability to play around the map, they were just able to just completely shut down 100 Thieves and basically wipe the map. Instantaneously.
One thing we also saw this weekend, and it was a lot of counter bans and picks. Was there anything significant that you noticed on the pick and ban phase that stood out to you?
No bans on Camille. We literally saw Huni yesterday from Echo Fox playing Camille twice against Clutch Gaming, and it was kind of embarrassing. Huni all season has always been known as a carry top laner, so he plays all these carry champions. And Camille is just so disgustingly broken that it was just a miracle that it got through pick and ban. And allowing, maybe if Camille was not banned in the set in the last two games, it was definitely banned in the first game versus 100 Thieves and Team Liquid, but last two games of the series, it was not banned. Now, Camille can be flexed to top lane and jungle, which totally opens up the pool for pick and ban, and it allows whatever team has it to flex it into one of the other roles. So, Camille not being picked and not being banned is it's eye-opening, because it shows that they didn't want to necessarily maybe put Xmithy on something like a carry, or they wanted impact on the tank for a reason, even though it was open. And even in the third game where they pick Gnar for Someday, Camille is open and they don't pick it. It's really telltale for what they wanted their game plan to be. And just Camille's just super influential. And I think that should have been something that they should have even hovered over and maybe not picked, or they should have just picked it and tried and flex it.
So what does this in general mean for Team Liquid coming out of finals, getting ready for MSIs? You know, obviously they've got Rift Rivals coming up. What does this mean for top to bottom for NA? You know, we're going to talk, what does this mean for Liquid, 100 Thieves, and Echo Fox?
All right. So for anyone that doesn't know, the next two events are going to be international events. So first one coming up is going to be MSI, or Midseason Invitational. This will be in between the splits of spring and summer. So the top teams, the top number one teams from each region, so Korea, the larger regions anyway, NA, Korea, China, EU, or Europe, and I think it's Taiwan, but I have to check, and I think there is a wild card region that will be introduced. They are all going to be playing in Berlin. They will be playing actually in the LCS, EU LCS studios for play-ins, and for group stages, and then they'll be moving over to France, and they'll be playing in one of the large arenas. I'd have to check it. But they will be playing to see who will be our MSI Spring Champions. And so now that Team Liquid has won, Team Liquid will be NA's representatives against the other international teams. Typically, the Korean teams always win this because they have superior play everywhere, all across the map. So it'll be really interesting to see. From the dominance that Team Liquid had, they went 9-1 in their entire series all the way through playoffs. So even in groups, in semis, and now in finals, they only dropped one game. So really impressive, and I'm really excited to see how they're going to stack up, especially against the Korean teams. And for Rift Rivals will be, they usually pit certain regions up against each other. So China's going to be going up against Korea. And for us, it's going to be North America versus Europe, an age-old tale, basically. So it's the top three teams from every region going up against each other. So for NA and EU, for NA, it's going to be Team Liquid and 100 Thieves, and the person who won third place, which is Echo Fox. And for Europe, it'll be Fnatic, G2, and Splice. So that will be a really interesting event to watch, especially with the way that Europe has been going. Fnatic's been looking very, very dominant. G2, obviously they have second place now after Fnatic won today, but maybe a little bit weaker, and I'm really, really interested to see how it goes, because last year we sent our top three teams, and one of them was actually one of the worst teams that we had, which was Phoenix One, and they were able to completely destroy most of EU. So we were able to win last year against EU and a Pride, basically. And so this year we're going to be sending three different teams than we sent last time. And for a same thing for MSI, actually, we're sending a whole brand new team than we've ever sent before. So this will be super interesting to watch and see if maybe the new talent from NA can keep holding up our win streak against EU, or if maybe the new EU teams can take over some of our new bloods.
All right. One thing, I want to bring it all the way back to what we were talking about. 3-0 dominations by Team Liquid, 3-0 domination by Echo Fox, all sub 30 matches. Do you think maybe we should have had an Echo Fox versus Liquid matchup? I know we briefly talked about this in the press room while watching the games. Do you think that maybe that would have provided a better 1-2 experience than what we saw today against 100 Thieves?
Definitely not. We already saw the Echo Fox and Team Liquid game. It was 3-1 for Team Liquid. And I don't think Echo Fox was quite necessarily prepared. They were still experiencing the slump that they had all season. And this game yesterday against Clutch Gaming, I think, was definitely indicative of their progress as a team and how they were able to finally raise up the bot lane and definitely putting Huni back on a carry champion and letting him carry the game. Because I feel like recently they've been playing less and less towards Huni. So we already saw with the Team Liquid and Fox game, they were Team Liquid basically blasted Echo Fox. The only game that that Echo Fox won was basically off of the back of Team Liquid making a mistake and Echo Fox being able to pounce on it. So I think regardless if it was 100 Thieves, if it was Echo Fox, I think that this match actually would have gone the exact same way. Although I did predict originally a 3-2, especially with just how fast these games went. I don't think anyone could have predicted a 3-0. And either way, with either team, I think it would have just ended up the same with a Team Liquid victory.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap it up. Once again, I want to say thank you. Big shout out to the folks at Riot for giving us the opportunity to cover the spring finals. Dimitri, I know you've got some stuff coming up. You want to maybe talk about some of the stuff that you'll be doing up on Twitch for League of Legends?
All right, so first of all, I want to also thank Riot for letting us come out here. It's definitely a different experience and a good experience for me, at least, for growing as a person and also in this business. You guys can find me at Twitter. I'm on my Twitter and also on my Instagram at Petri Dimitri on Instagram and Dimitri Toledo on Twitter. Follow me there because I will be going to University of Florida, and I'm going to be actually casting a couple of games, or the entire series, basically, the entirety of the Gator LAN. That's what it's called, Gator LAN, LAN event. And I'll be casting there, and I'll be doing it with my friend Andrew. So that'll be my next event. That'll be the 21st of this month, of April. So that should start around noon, EST. So be on the lookout. It should be, if anything, we can drop the, if you follow my Twitter, I'll drop the link for the Twitch channel. And yeah, it should be fun. You should definitely come out and support me, if anything, for Gamertag Radio.
Awesome.
Thanks. And again, thank you once again for, you know, obviously I'm sure it didn't take a lot to have you come out and go check out the finals of Miami Beach. So this is Peter signing off. Dimitri, thank you very much. Riot, once again, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come out and cover the spring finals. So we're going to take it back to the studio and the guys. Peace.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, guys.
Sorry for the lights.
Yeah. Okay, first question.
Hi, this is Dimitri Toledo for Gamertag Radio. So, for Xsmithy, in the first game we saw Camille banned. In the last two games we didn't see it picked or banned. Was it just maybe you guys weren't comfortable with it, flexing it, or was it just something that you weren't comfortable in the game plan for you guys?
I think it was just a big decision, or a team decision for us to not really care about it after game one.
You were comfortable on, like, it's just how the state of the game went. Like, you were comfortable on, like, picking or, like, banning any champion that when you had difficulties with, it wasn't the game.
Hi, this is Keen Lam with Lully Sports. I have this question for Doublelift. This is the third roster you've won an NALCS championship with. What makes this roster separate and unique from the other two?
I think this roster, this roster has a really great balance of players. Like, I think our team can play so many different styles. Like, we can play a scuff for late game, but we also can do really creative, like, jungle pathing and play really aggressive early. And I think the best thing about playing on this team is everyone can make a play at any time. Like, I think all five of us, we can make crazy plays, you know, like Baron steals, engages, flank TPs, or like Bobelter can just go in 1v5 on Azir. Like, I think everyone on this team has like an eye to make a play, but on my other teams, we didn't have like a perfect balance. So, yeah.
This question's for Bobelter, Miles from Proving Grounds on TV. Hope, in game two you had an incredible four-man Azir Shurima shuffle. Can you walk us through that sequence around the bear pit that resulted in that incredible advantage?
Yeah, they were all stuck in the pit, and then I was like, well, I guess I can go out and ulti them in, let's try it out. And then I figured that most of them would probably just like flash over, because it was really telegraphed, but I'm not sure if they all didn't have flash or they were nervous or something, but I ended up just getting all of them, even the Ezreal who tried to flash over the wall. That one was kind of lucky, but yeah, just they were just clumps, so I went for it.
This is Travis Gafford from my YouTube channel. Steve, this question's for you. I actually was thinking about this. In fact, Kelby and I were talking about it as the game was ending. It's hard to think of anybody else that's been involved in League of Legends esports that has waited this long for a win. I remember when you used to play, then you went to Curse, then you went to Team Liquid. Even the split, a lot of the other owners were teasing you and mocking you. And now you won. You're on the press conference at the end. So what is this all like for you?
It's just incredibly rewarding. You know, life just has so many obstacles. It just throws shit at you all the time. And, you know, you just get knocked down over and over. And if it was like the LMQ match when we were 2-0 and we were about to go to Worlds, and then that didn't happen. And, you know, it's just constant, like, things that happen that kind of deter you. And a lot of people saying, like, hey, you guys can't do it. Or even after we put this team together during the off season, and then we struggled a little bit in the middle of the season, like, we were getting so much, like, mockery, I guess, from the community and other owners saying, like, eh, you guys, you know, wasted the offseason, or, like, doing things that, you know, you can't accomplish even though you spent a bunch of money was kind of the meme. You know, I think the only way to shut them all up is to win. And so, you know, that was really the determination. It feels great. It feels like I'm proud of the guys. These, you know, it's really these guys in the community that's been supporting the team.
Monster Grooming Grounds again. This question's for Ole. Ole, in the preparation up to this one, you were going up against, we didn't know it at the time, the Spring Split MVP Afromo in the ball lane, and your old teammate Cody Sun. Talk about the preparation for that particular 2v2 and how you feel you executed on it.
I think last year I was candidate of MVP, but this year I realized that's useless. I'm sorry, but I think Peter and me just talk a lot, and we knew like every situation, how to react, how to play better. So I think maybe they are not really maybe specific like us. I think Peter talk about our body matchup every time, and then we always discuss together. So I think we knew every situation and we know how to react. So I think that to be to win, because I think Peter like talked to me a lot, and that was really good for me.
Hey, this is Parks with the Game House. I have a question for Impact. You've obviously played very well, and you have been in multiple regions throughout your career. So I'm interested to see what you're most excited about going into MSI now, and who you're excited about facing against, kind of what matchups you're looking forward to there.
Kingdra maybe, but they're not finished HQ now, so we don't know who coming. But our mid boss can too, and I just want mid just good time right now. But I think I need to try. I need to show play carry top two, and I can show if my carry top is not better, because last game is out. Our DKY is coming, but we not practice too much the champion's side, so we just picking Manga, that's why. But I kind of got bugged, my mental is not doing so that time. I'm just keep communication and make plan. And yeah, I think we can just win. Not just win, but we can challenge because win go MSI, and then we can show good play.
Hi, Thomas Baker, also with the Game House. I wanted to ask Doublelift, what about Ole is different than supports in the past, and what kinds of things does he bring to your team that other teammates in the past have?
Well, first, he's Korean. I think the main thing is just every sport is totally different, actually. Like, I think every time you play with a new teammate, you realize, like, every... they have different, like, a point system, and I think Ole's point system is really, like, playmaking and looking to engage, looking to make, like, a big, risky play, and, I used to play like that too, actually, so, we're playing together at the wrong time, but, now I'm a lot more safe, I guess, after having so many bad experiences at Worlds, I play a lot more safe, so at first we were really bad together, and every week we just worked on it, so I think Ole is unique because... He is really willing to play like any style, and when we talk about bot lane or when I criticize him, he is really good at improving and making changes, and like at the end of all this regular season playoffs and stuff, I think we're actually really good, and it was like every day, every week we were just talking about stuff and he's making changes, I'm making changes, so I think that's what's really unique about him is he's really like a balanced player, like he can play everything.
Hello, this is Cap from ProvingGrounds.tv. I have another question for Doublelift. For this series, you were often juxtaposed next to Aphromoo, and I mean, even all these years later, you guys are still kind of put together. Do you think there's ever going to be a time where you guys are kind of thought of in your own right, or do you think he's always going to be the rush to your hour?
You know, I feel like they just kind of pushed me versus Afro because there was nothing else to do. I don't really think too much about playing against Afro. Actually, I don't think a single time during the series I thought about the word Afro move or attack or whatever. I usually just think about, you know, what are we doing? Like, what does my team want to do differently? But it's cool that the community, Afro's really popular. I guess I'm really popular too. So I think it's natural the community just wants to see us like play against each other or play with each other or something, but it's so long. It's been 3 years, so I don't think about it.
I don't know if we're getting to the goofy questions yet, but Ole, there was an episode of Squad at the start of the split where your teammates were kind of wingmanning for you and saying that you were looking for a girl. There's a fan in the audience holding up a sign saying, Ole, let's watch Gossip Girl and go to Disney World together. Now that you've won, do you think that you have the time to try to find someone?
Actually, I got some DM. Honestly, I got some DMs. But, I mean, I don't know that you're a person, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I talked to my fans before on the stream. Like, they can be just mad. They can pretend like... I can just... My voice, like...
Hello?
I can say, on internet, I can't believe anyone, so, like, DM was not a good way.
Yeah.
Sorry, Peter, and other people, but, yeah, I couldn't find anyone, and I just stuck in my home and just played solo queue. Yeah, I'm gonna just play solo queue for our team. There's no way.
That was a great answer. Man with this camera. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Shout it. Hello? Oh, come on. Okay, sorry. Hi, this is Julia Lee from the Rift Herald. My question is for Ole and Doublelift. You guys just destroyed 100 Thieves, but they do really have you beat in the bot lane name compartment. I don't know how you can beat the sweet life of Zach and Cody. Do you guys have a really good bot lane name we can finally start calling you? Please think of one on the spot. I'm really serious about this.
No, our names suck. We gotta do a name change or something. I don't know. I got nothing.
I know it's bad at English.
Double in. Going back to a serious question real quick about that. Parks again with the Game House. Steve, you talked a little bit about your team in the middle of the split, kind of realizing that you had a few problems that you needed to flesh out. What is your role in kind of motivating them, reminding them how good they are and how hard they work, and even pushing them to work harder so that we have them spamming solo queue and stuff like that?
You know, my role has changed dramatically over the years. You know, I used to be kind of manager and coach, and then I went to All-Stars and coached the team. So I am a little less involved on the day-to-day. I really empower the coaching staff to be the presence around the team. At times, I'll just show my support. You know, I'll hang out and watch scrims and offer advice where I can and try to make sure that they have all the resources they need to succeed, whether that's like a training facility or the best chef and cooking great food, or it's, you know, the right mental coach or the right, you know, manager, whatever it is. I want to make sure that they have everything they need so they can just focus on the game. And you know, in the middle of the split, we ran into a few issues, and we were able to kind of identify exactly what they were, and we could have went a number of different directions, but we decided to just really fix them, you know. And that's, I think, was it's kind of easy to look back in hindsight and be like, that was the right decision, but it wasn't an easy decision at that point. So I just I just kind of a supportive role and make sure that they have everything that they need. And these guys are so experienced. They come from, you know, just years of playing. So you know, they kind of work themselves out.
Dimitri, again, this is for Pogalter. So, in an interview with Obli, you said that you were really good and that you deserve to be mentioned. So, do you think now that you're here, and you're finally in the pantheon with, you know, Bjergsen and Jensen, your name's going to be brought up now?
Yeah, those nibs lost in quarterfinals. So.
I'm going to drop the mic.
Behind you.
All right, we're going to do one more question.
Hello, it's Cap from Proving Grounds once again. This one is for Steve. So you finally broke the curse. You're now in first place. How does it feel to be the fourth team flying a banner alongside everyone else?
You know, it's interesting. That fourth meme, I think, will continue to follow us. You know, it's just one of those things. It's you know, comical at this point, but you know, it will be nice to actually have a banner hanging in the North American studio. So we're champions. Pretty fucking awesome.
All right, guys, we're going to take a couple of minutes to get some photos of these guys. Feel free to, like, get up and get a little bit closer. I'm going to grab this trophy. Hold on.
Okay.
What are we going to do after this party?
Broden, your ass just got in front of the stream. Broden, I don't want to get banned. Thanks everyone for watching. This has been the Team Liquid press conference.
I mean, like,
like clicking. My hand.
Look happy. Don't stand the light.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.